Good morning. Singing one of my favorite songs. Love that song. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to Luke, the 13th chapter. Very good singing. You guys get together again. Love that. Good song. Deeper than the stain is gone. Blood has never lost its power, and it never will. Amen. I want to read the first five verses. Luke 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. We thank you, Lord, that your blood was shed in our place. And Lord, it goes deeper than the stain. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak, preach your word one more time. I pray, Lord, you'd give me a freedom and an ease and a power that only your Spirit can give. I pray you touch every heart and life that's here. I pray you'd bring Christians to repentance, and I bring the lost to salvation. I ask you to have your way in this service, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting passage here, actually. Some Galileans were making sacrifices at the temple, and Pilate came in and killed them, and their blood mixed with the sacrificial blood on the altar. Now, that's pretty gross, isn't it? I mean, that sort of messes up your religious sacrifice. That sort of hurts things. It pollutes it, whatever. You think, boy, what kind of terrible sinners were these people for that to come upon them? And that's the way they were thinking. And then there were 18 people. They were at the Tower of Siloam, and the tower fell. Now, the tower was made of great big heavy rocks. And when that tower fell, it slew 18 people. Well, boy, they must have been some terrible sinners for such a thing to happen to them. And Jesus says, no, that's not the case. He says in verse 3, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 5, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I've heard a lot of sayings about New Orleans. My son-in-law, Mike Pemberton, did a lot of traveling in his work. And he had a business meeting over a period of time in New Orleans. He told me it was the wickedest city he'd ever seen. He'd been all around the world. So I've never seen anything quite like New Orleans. A very, very wicked city. But he said there was one thing about it. Almost everywhere he went, there were street preachers preaching the gospel and passing out tracts. He had another meeting. It was in Las Vegas, Nevada. He said that was a very wicked city too. One difference, no street preachers, no gospel tracts. They had all sorts of postcards of nude women, but no gospel tracts. Now, I've heard some people say, and in fact, when we were in New York, I had a couple of fellows come up to me. They'd been reading some book where someone had linked America's pressure upon Israel to give up the land and the Gaza Strip and whatever. And this with the terrible hurricanes and earthquakes and things that have happened on the United States. And they were saying God was judging the United States. And some of these guys were really pretty sure it was true. Well, I have no doubt God judges. And if a hurricane struck my house, I'd think God judged it. You understand? But I want you to think for a minute. Although we had five hurricanes in Florida here last year, already had a couple in Florida this year, We had this big one here down in New Orleans. We also had another one heading right towards us, Corpus Christi. It turned up a little bit, and we got mercy. We missed a bullet or two. But there's a lot of places in East Texas and western Louisiana didn't miss any bullet. I want you to think that when that hurricane hit New Orleans, it not only hit the wicked, it hit all those street preachers. Hit all those people passing out tracts. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. I want you to think also how few people died in the United States. How few people died in the United States because of these disasters. And then at the very same time, wasn't it last year that a tsunami hit somewhere in Asia and killed 100,000 people? And wasn't it just a while back that in Afghanistan and India they had an earthquake and it killed 50,000 people? They're happening all around the world, all time. Brother Trinidad was speaking about the disasters that we see on the news and then we heard about. Do you know things are happening like that? Right here in San Antonio, this last week, we had two drunk drivers get on the wrong side of the expressway and kill people. Do you think the people that died in those cars were greater sinners than you are because you're alive? You know, you can't make that kind of thing. I believe God judges, and if you feel like God's judging you, repent. I wouldn't go along and say, well, I don't have any sin and no problem. But you know, I have a real problem. I told some of the fellows in New York. As far as I'm concerned, God could drop a hurricane on San Antonio and he'd be right. You think this is a righteous city? Do you think this city doesn't need the judgment of God upon it? I imagine we're just about as bad as New Orleans or Miami or Las Vegas or any other place. There's some place in San Antonio I wouldn't want to go at night. I heard in some places up there in New York we weren't supposed to go. Don't go there at night. You just leave certain places alone. I mean, don't go there. Well, of course. There's wickedness in our cities and there's wickedness growing all around us. You know what he said? He said, repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And I want to say something to you. Whether you die in a car wreck or die in a hurricane or die in an earthquake, doesn't make much difference. Have you thought about that? Oh, we'd all like to die in our sleep. Just never wake up. Be healthy, happy, having a wonderful time, lay down and boom, you're gone. It's not going to happen that way for you. Most of you are going to die with a heart attack or diabetes or cancer or a car wreck or an aneurysm or some other something's going to get you. You're going to die. What is your future? It's death. I don't care if you're 14 years old or 4 years old or 40 years old or as old as Don, 100 years old. You're going to die. Death is your future. The thing about it is, you need to be ready to die. You need to be prepared to die. Some of you aren't that way this morning. Some of you are not ready to die. And that's a dangerous place to live. See, they were asking Jesus about those Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He said, suppose ye they were worse than all the other Galileans? Well, his answer, of course, is no. If it would have happened to any other Galileans, they would have been just as wicked, just as necessary, just as needful of judgment as these people here. And the people on the Tower of Siloam, the people that died, these 18, I mean, here they are in a great big tragedy. I mean, a tower falls on them and crushes them to death. Was that because they were greater sinners than the rest of us? No, no. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And in fact, if you would look in the news and think about what's going on today, you'd find out that there's been a lot worse things happening all around the world that's even happened to us. These things have been bad. They really have been bad. They've hurt a lot of people. I understand we probably have 5,000-6,000 people from New Orleans that have decided to make San Antonio their home. They're not going back. They like this place. They came here. We got a good place. I like our place. I've been in a lot of places, and I just soon live right around here as any place I've ever been. Natuside did that too. We got about 6,000 new residents that came from New Orleans. There's no job to go back to. There's no home to go back to. There's probably no bank account to go back to. They don't have anything. They're starting all over. Now, does that mean that New Orleans is worse than San Antonio? Not on your life. There's wickedness everywhere you want to look. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is talking about the wickedness. He's prophesying of the wickedness of the last days. I want to read the first 7 verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what the bad times are, the last times are? Here they're described to you. They're described to you. Sounds like our city. Sounds like our time. Sounds like our church. Sounds like our community. Sounds like the problems we face. The problems our marriages face. The problems our children face. The problems the people in this town face. Your children face and you face. Look at it. Lovers of their own selves. A little baby goes into the emergency room, dead, 2 broken arms, a crushed skull, a split spleen. Who does that to a little baby? We don't even do that to our worst enemies. We don't beat people up that bad. We don't torture them, but we do it to little bitty babies. You know why? It probably cried. It probably cried, and some stupid mother or daddy couldn't put up with the crying. So they had to shake it, or they had to throw it, or they had to beat on it. And they think that's going to help. You know what? Lovers of their own selves. I can't take that crying anymore. I can't put up with this. I can't work. I can't do this. You know what? Some of you need to start thinking about somebody besides yourself. Amen. Selfishness? It's rampant in our day. It's all over us. It's all over our lives and our families. You know what the television and the advertisement feeds on? Your selfishness. They want you in debt all up as far as you can pay it on things you don't need. You don't need a new car every year. You don't need new furniture. You probably don't need a bigger house. There's a whole lot of things you don't need, but you want. And your house is full of junk that you bought and thought you needed. Every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we got garage sales where one family sells their junk and you go by and pick it up and stack it with your junk. You don't need it. It's just a bargain. It's a bargain. Lovers of your own selves. Covetous. Covetous. That's wanting things. Things. I walk out and look at my garage and I got a lot of things. I don't know why I thought I needed them when I bought them. I don't know why you have so many things around that have just cluttered up your life. You don't need them. You know what? They don't make you happy. They won't make you happy for very long. And come Christmas time, some of you are going to be so broke you'll spend all year paying for it the next year. And what you give will be thrown away inside of a month. Oh, amen or oh me. Didn't like that one, did you? How about boasters? Boasters. You know, when I was young, the way they taught you was to be humble about yourself. That's not the way they teach you today. They teach you, tell your good points, brag on yourself, present yourself. And that's the way a lot of these people do it. You wonder why some of these college guys, they're millionaires. They come right out of high school and they're multimillionaires. Well, of course they think they're very special. And they're bragging and they're bragging and they're bragging. And it just almost makes me sick sometimes. Like, boy, you stupid kid. You just think you're so good. You think people can't live without you. I'll tell you. You know how big a hole you're going to leave? Stick your hand in a bucket of water. See how much water it displaces? Pull it out. See that hole that's left there? That's how important you are. Things are just going to keep on going. In spite of you not playing, or in spite of you not doing, or in spite of you not caring about something else. Proud boasters. That's our generation. We're a bunch of proud boasters. Blasphemers. Man, I listen to what people say sometimes. It blows my mind. They're not afraid of God. They're not afraid God might listen in, God might hear. I'm afraid of God. I've been saved 48 and a half years. I'm still afraid of God. I believe He's a good Father, and I believe He'll spank me if I get out of His line. I don't want to do something that will get me on the wrong side of God. I might not worry too much getting on the wrong side of you. But I do worry about getting on the wrong side of God. And you know something? It says blasphemers. People who say things and claim things for themselves that belong to God. There are an awful lot of you, some of you sitting maybe in this room right here, don't think you need God. You're big enough, you're smart enough, you're strong enough, you don't need God. Oh, but you do. Do you realize to draw the next breath? For you being alive sitting in that chair, you need God. Amen. You're not going to make it very long without Him. It says, unthankful, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. I imagine children have always been disobedient. But I'll bet you that our generation is more disobedient than any generation before it. When we were raising our kids, Dr. Spock wrote his book. We read his book. We decided we'd go with the Bible rather than Dr. Spock. I'm not a bit dissatisfied. I'm very dissatisfied with many young people who are going with Dr. Spock. They're not going with what the Bible teaches, and they're not training their children, and they don't demand respect. Your kids do not need another buddy. They need a mother or a father. They don't need another friend. I know you may think that they need a friend and you're going to be their friend. No, they need a mother. They need a father. They need somebody to set limits. They need somebody that can say no and mean it. Amen. Disobedient to parents. Going to be the bad times. Unholy. Without natural affection. When I think of that little baby and you hear about them. Babies going into the emergency room with 21 cigarette burns on their body. I just want to take them out behind the shed and teach them a lesson or two, those parents. Who in the world, what kind of mother, what kind of father would do his child that way? And you say, well, I was drunk when I did it. That's no excuse for me. You should have never got drunk. You should have never drank the first drink in the first place. Well, I killed somebody, I killed a whole family, and I was drunk. Who cares if you were drunk or not? Drinking is no excuse. Right. It's not an excuse for driving and killing a family. It's not an excuse for getting in a bar fight and killing a family. Without natural affection. The natural affection is a mother protects her child. Amen. The natural affection is a father protects his child. The natural affection is we love one another. We love our own family at least. Amen. I mean, the guys that run the mafia, they love their own family at least. without natural affection. Well, that sounds like our generation. Every day on the newspaper, every day on your television news, you know what you're going to find? Some poor people without natural affection. Unreal. You think, this is unreasonable. Well, that's right. It doesn't make sense because these people don't think straight. They don't have the natural affection that you would expect they ought to have. You reckon maybe San Antonio deserves judgment as much as New Orleans? I think so. Without natural affection, truth breakers. You can't trust their word. False accusers. They'll lie for whatever reason. Incontinent. That's without self-control. Fierce. And despisers of those that are good. You know what that is? That's an evident token of perdition. When those at your work and those in your family, they hate what you do, they hate your testimony, they hate the gospel that you preach, it's an evident token of who their Lord is. And I guarantee it's not Jesus. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This afternoon, there'll be hundreds of, maybe not hundreds, maybe 50 football games played. And some people want to watch the football game more than they want to read the Bible. Now, I like football. Don't get me wrong. I played it and I loved it. Probably kept me in school. Probably got me through high school. But you know what? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's why some of these churches have gone to. I saw a church here recently. Had a great big church. Boy, they had the band. Everybody was doing. They were jumping. They were doing all sorts of stuff. And walked right outside. They had their own Starbucks. They had their own cafe. They had their own library. They had the whole community right there. You could be spiritual in everything you did. It'd be a holy bowling, you know. Holy bowling. And they got it all for sale. You got to buy it. They don't give it to you. So far, we're not in the business of selling anything.
Amen.
We don't even sell Bibles and good books.
Amen.
And the reason why is because when I read what Jesus did in the temple, I said, oh, I don't want to get in that crowd.
Amen.
Those people in the temple weren't selling anything wrong. They were just selling things convenient. They were selling sacrifices. They were selling things you could use that you didn't have to bring from a far country. And they sat there in the temple, and the guys that were money changing, they were simply doing a good deed. You come over here with Greek money, well, you needed some other kind of money or something like that, and they changed it. Some of you have been in other countries, you know what that's like. And everybody that changes money makes a little profit each time he changes it. He changes it back and forth. He can make a good bit of money in today's time. But Jesus said, make not my house a house of merchandise. You're not coming here just for pleasure. You're coming because you serve the Lord Christ. You're coming because you want to hear the Word of God. You come because you might want to hear for your own soul.
Amen.
But it ought to be spiritual. And it ought to be there for a spiritual reason and not just to make money and to get a crowd. God help us. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's our generation. Our generation goes for pleasure. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Oh, there's lots of religious people out there. But they don't acknowledge the Bible as their final authority. As far as I'm concerned, that puts them in the wrong. I finally found a book that I trust.
Amen.
I'm a very skeptical man. I love the president. I voted for him 4 times now in my life. I'll vote for him again, no matter what the rest of the people think. I'd be voting for him again. But I don't trust everything he says. The man is a politician. He's paid to lie. He's supposed to lie. Would you want him telling the news guy coming up to him, yeah, we're going to bomb Russia in the morning. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Of course he's not going to tell them that. They don't tell them everything like that, but they're a politician. That's what they do. I still think he's a pretty good one. I'd vote for him again. I'm not sorry about it. But you know, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, I got a book that I believe. Amen. I believe in this book I've got in my hands, and I'm not talking about some Greek shelf back in my library at the house. I'm talking about this book I have in my hands right here. I believe it to be the preserved Word of God. I believe it's true enough I can trust it, and I'm going to go to the judgment seat of Christ with it. How about you? Do you have anything, anybody you can trust? I've tried to make my Word good most of my life, ever since I got saved at least. And you know something? People still don't believe you. He says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's this generation. They're learning and learning and learning and getting more degrees and having more studies and more seminars and more stuff, and they never get down to the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the truth. Thy word is true, my Bible says. And if you will, turn to Psalm number 12. Look at verse 6. Psalm 12. I've got something I can trust. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Who's going to keep them? The Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I believe that. I believe I have a book that I can trust. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Beginning at verse 11. You know, in judging churches, you need to hear what they preach, and that is very important. But there's another thing you need to listen to, what they don't preach. Not just what they preach, what they refuse to preach. What they will not touch. What they will not say in order to hurt some of their membership or some of their money or some other things like that. Look at verse 11. Woe to them that rise up early in the morning that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night till wine inflame them. You think drinking's all right? I don't. I think if you drink, I think if you socially drink, you're a fool. Only one out of eight people who is bitten by a rattlesnake dies. One out of eight. 12.5%. That's the same percentage of social drinkers that become alcoholics. 12.5%. All the psychologists in the world cannot predict an alcoholic. They don't know if it comes from your genes. They don't know whether it comes from stress or problems or other things like this. They don't know what causes it. They just know that about 12.5%, one out of eight, social drinkers will become an alcoholic. You ever looked at an alcoholic? Go down and preach at the rescue mission a few times. Or if you can't preach, just go down there with a few of these guys that go to the rescue mission. Talk to some of these guys. See how intelligent they are. Oh, some of them were really intelligent at one time. You ever try to deal with drunks? I don't deal with drunks anymore. I'm sorry. I quit years ago. Sometimes you can get them to do anything you want to, but they don't remember a thing. And sometimes they're so belligerent and stubborn and stupid, and they'll never even remember it. Who wants their brains addled that way? Let me tell you something. I only know one way you can be sure you won't become an alcoholic. be a teetotaler. Tea and Coke's the strongest thing you drink. I don't want any wine. I don't want any liquor. I don't want any mixed drinks. I don't want any wine at the Lord's table. And if I'm impolite, I'll just be impolite. I won't take your drink. He says right here, woe to them that rise up early in the morning that they may follow strong drink. He's going to be talking about drinking. I want you to notice when we get down to verse 20, he's talking about it again. Woe to them that call... I'm sorry, maybe the wrong one. No, verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. He's talking about drinking and drinkers. If you haven't quit drinking, you ought to.
Amen.
I did not want to raise my children up and they could blame me for becoming an alcoholic. If my kids became a drunk or they got drunk, they didn't learn it from me or my wife. Put it out of the house. And if it causes me to be impolite, I'll just have to be impolite. I'll say, no, thank you. Now look at the things that drinking can cause. Right here in chapter 5. Verse 12, the middle of the verse, they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Hey, you go after wine, you're not going to notice God. You're not going to notice the operation of His hands. Verse 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Woe to them that give his neighbor drink. They're gone into captivity. They're slaves somewhere else because of the drinking of the priests and the drinking of the kings and the drinking of the people. Look at verse 14. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Hell's bigger, he said. God had to increase hell because of drinking. Look at verse 20. They call evil good and good evil. I've heard that so many times. They call evil good and they call good evil. Listen today. Just listen to the conversations. You'll hear people calling what is good evil and what is evil good. Some of them are your friends. Some of them are your family. Some of them are your teachers. Some of them are people that are leaders. They got things all screwed up. I mean, Texas is actually having a proposition to define what a marriage is.
Yeah.
I hope you went out and voted yes on two. Good night. What a screwed up world we get in when you don't even know what a marriage is. One man, one woman. That's a marriage. It's not two queers of either sex. That's not a marriage. That's sodomy. Put darkness for light and light for darkness. Put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes. You ever see anybody smarter than a drunk? You can't tell them anything. You can't keep them from driving. Take the keys away from them, they'll fight you. You want to be the one designated driver that doesn't drink? Boy, you're in for trouble. Because whoever wants those keys, I hope he's not bigger than you. Because he's not going to want you telling him what to do because he knows what he's doing. She knows what she's doing. Until they kill somebody and themselves on a highway somewhere around here in San Antonio. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward. It happens every day. Just because you're right doesn't mean you're going to come out on everything that happens. take away the righteousness of the righteous. Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they've cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Look at Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are seven churches listed. I'm not going to try to teach on them today. I want to preach on one word that's in five of these churches. One word. Repent. God, Jesus never says any one of these are not His church. Now you and I might look at Him and say, that's not the church of the Lord. We might judge Him and say, oh, with doctrine like that, how could that be the real church? With lives like that, how could that be the real church? Jesus never disclaims any one of the seven. Every one of them He treats it as His church. He sends His angel to them. And five of them, He tells them to repent. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Do you understand what repentance is? Let me make it sort of plain. There's this guy, he's just in love with this girl, and he walks miles to get to her house, just can't stand to be away from her, just wants to talk to her all the time. When he's not with her, he's calling her on the phone. And as long as he's in love with her, I mean, boy, nothing is too great for him to get to her. But let him change his mind. Let him change his mind. Let her insult him in a certain way. Let her do something or whatever. Him do something. And he changes his mind. I don't want her anymore. I wouldn't have her if she'd come to me anymore. He changes his mind, and boy, he's not going her way. He's going the other way. He's going away from her as fast as he can get. That's repentance. You change your mind and it changes your direction. I know I've said it I don't know how many times. Beautiful, sweet little old girl, one of my classes. Oh, George, oh, have you seen George, Mr. Kincaid? Mr. Kincaid, oh, George is, oh, great. George is so great. About 2 weeks later, I say, how's George, that creep? I wouldn't give him the time of day. That's repentance. That's repentance. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to change your mind and change your direction. And he's speaking to his church. And he said, repent and do the first works. Look down at verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16. Repent, this is another church, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Repent's the word. Turn from what you're doing. Turn from what is hurting you. Turn from what is damaging you. Turn from what is ruining your testimony and ruin the testimony of your church. Repent. Look at chapter 3, verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. You know what the thief does? The thief doesn't call you up and say, Mr. Kincaid, I plan on robbing you at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because I'd have my 12-gauge sitting there waiting for him. He's not going to do that. I've been robbed more while I'm at church than I have been any other way. They know I'm a preacher. If they know me at all, they know where I'm going to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and a lot of that. And my whole family is going to be with me.
Amen.
And that's when they rob me blind. Till I got a great big dog. I never was robbed again after I got Big Red. He says, repent. Repent. Look at chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is your church. This is the church you live in. This is the time you live in. Read it sometime. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Can you imagine the Laodicean church and Jesus saying, I love you? That's amazing. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent is not my word. Repent is Jesus' word. Repent was John the Baptist's word, and repent was Isaiah's word. Repentance is what we need. You want revival? You want blessing? You want God's blessing to come upon your family, upon your children, upon your church, upon your town? Then His church must repent. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, that's who He said, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. It's the people of God. It's us. Look at verse 20, chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Yes, God is in the business of judging. And God does judgment. And judgment happens day after day. And sometimes great, big, horrible judgments fall upon our land, upon our people, and even upon you. But God's looking for repentance. God's looking for somebody that will listen. He says right here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door. And will open the door. I will come in with up with him and he with me. Someone said that door has a lock and a handle on the inside. You have to open it. God will not force His way in. Even upon you, my Christian friend, that belong to Him, He's looking for your will. He works on your will to do His will. You need to tune your will to His will. You need to make your will willing to do His will, whatever that might be. And my friend, if you're here today and you're lost, you're not saved. You're on the road to hell. And God's judgment is going to fall heavy upon you. But He says, if you'll repent, if you'll call upon Him, He'll save your soul and change your life. Amen. Religion isn't good enough in the day of death. Church membership's not good enough then. You need salvation. You need to be forgiven. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need your life changed. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking today on somebody's heart. I don't know who, but He's knocking today on somebody He wants in. Invite Him in today. Let Him come into your heart. Change your life. Lord, how about all those people that had such a disastrous death and lost so much? Was it because they were greater sinners? Nay, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We're going to sing number 249. Number 249, let's stand. My Christian friend, this altar is open if you would like to come. Get down here and get on your knees and pray. My dear lost friend, if you're here and you recognize that you need the Savior, accept Him today as your Lord and Savior. You're welcome to come. This altar is open. Sing it out. Take Him as your Savior today. you do whatever the Lord's laid on your heart to do. Heavenly Father, we ask you to take your word and apply it to each of our hearts and lives. I pray you'll hear the prayers that are being prayed in this place and answer them. I pray, Lord, that you will touch hearts and lives that they might be saved before it's everlastingly too late. Have your way in our life, in our church, in our town, in our country. Have your way, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Didn't make it this part of my tire. I had a big old bump on it early. Had to
go get another one?
No, I had to change it to my spare. And get the job on that one time. I didn't
know. Some of them are bad news.
I couldn't get those lug ropes broke loose on that thing, man.
I know.
Oh, man. I finally got it.